Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. And a warm welcome to you this day. This is Bill Arnold. So glad you're with me today. You know, it said in a survey that it seems that 72% of people think 18% of people are not like them. We seem to struggle with people who are not like us. But whatever you're doing today, I'm awfully glad you tuned into Faith Radio. Maybe you're doing a crossword puzzle by your above-ground pool. How nice is that? Maybe you're doing laundry. Maybe just time enough for one dark load and one light load. In college, when I know when I did my laundry for the very first time, I just did one load. And then I learned you got to divide it up into two loads, which I did the second time. So I had the gray load and the pink load. That's how I learned. You always learn the hard way, don't you? Maybe you're on your way to the grocery store and you're hungry, which is not always a great idea. It's like you get home and it's, honey, did you remember to get the lettuce for tonight's salad? No, but I got three boxes of Fig Newtons. Got to be careful when you go to the grocery store hungry. Maybe you're brewing a cup of dark roast with no fear that it's going to keep you up tonight. I envy you. And maybe you're wondering where God is in all the confusion about life right now. Maybe that's a season you're in and things feel troubling and confusing and you wonder where God is. Maybe you just need to learn more about God. One thing I can tell you that works for me, if you want to trust God more, is get yourself a daily two-hour radio show. That'll get your attention. But there is a ton of noise in the world, a lot of distractions, and I will work hard to get and hold your attention. Your time and attention is very valuable. So we're going to bring on Dr. Jeff Myers in just a minute. He is smart, persuasive, and what's another word for winsome? Appealing. He's all of that. So we're going to have a discussion with him in just a minute. And on this show, I always want scripture, lots of it. So hopefully one of my goals is to have a million people read scripture on the show. So if you want to be part of that, just call the Faith Radio line, 877-933-2484, and get into our voicemail and just say, hey, I'd like to read a passage of scripture, and just read it. And then we'll put it on the air. So after a million people, I'm saying a million people have read scripture on the show, I'll get a tattoo. All right, here's a little piece of scripture from my friend George Fraser from Real Recovery.
My favorite verse, this is George Fraser from Real Recovery, and it's John 10:10. And it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And for me, what that's about, Billy, is that Jesus came to give us true life and that our recovery is going to be better than our using, that our life with Christ is better than anything that Satan offers. And he tempts us with money, power, greed, sex, chemicals, that this is the right way, the fun way, the worldly way to live. And it only leads to death. But the Son of Man comes to give us eternal life that starts now, and it's abundantly better than anything we could ever imagine or hope for. And that's why this is my favorite verse.
From Irwin Brothers Entertainment comes I Can Only Imagine, coming to DVD and Blu-ray and digital. I Can Only Imagine. The untold true story of Mercy Me's Bart Millard. And the power of redemption and forgiveness.
My dad was a monster, and I saw God transform him. I didn't think that God could do that.
I Can Only Imagine. Available now on DVD, Blu-ray, and digital. Rated PG.
School's out, but it doesn't mean tensions in families and marriages take a break for the summer. This week, the Faith Radio prayer team members are praying for God's peace in our families, asking for reconciled relationships and a fresh perspective that carries through this summer and beyond. We'd love to have you pray with us. Join the Faith Radio prayer team by signing up at myfaithradio.com/prayer. You'll receive a weekly email reminder with a prayer prompt and a scripture verse to encourage your faith. Go to myfaithradio.com/prayer.
It's 8 minutes after the hour. Thanks to George Fraser for reading John 10:10. I just asked you to read the passage and not exegete the whole thing, but so glad you did that. My guest on our studio line is Dr. Jeff Myers. He's really one of the most respected authorities on Christian worldview and apologetics, and is in Colorado. I've spoken to Jeff before, and it's awfully nice to have you back on the program, Jeff.
Hey, Bill. Great to be with you. I'm thinking about Fig Newtons and going to the grocery store.
Yeah,
right now.
I put that idea well in your head. Now it's stuck there, so good luck. Well, I appreciate you paying attention in school because you end up with a lot of good thinking, and I like good thinking, so thank you.
Oh, well, I'm glad to. I didn't start paying attention until I got to graduate school, but then my professors really kicked my tail and made me start paying attention, and it was right about that time that I had a growing engagement with David Noble at Summit Ministries, and it was an amazing time to realize that you can be a thinking Christian.
Yeah, no kidding. And I love the fact that you like to invest and train high school and college kids in a Christian perspective. I was recently looking online, and I saw a presentation you gave on discovering your calling through your design. And I thought, boy, if I have heard from a lot of people, they ask the question, what is God calling me to do? Can we talk about that a little today?
I'd be happy to.
Yeah.
Yes, you bet. I think it's a huge issue.
I do too.
4 out of 5 of the young people I work with say they don't have a sense of purpose and that they know where they're going in life and why they would go there.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they're looking for to follow their dreams because that's what they hear in places like graduation speeches. But it really isn't about following your dreams. It's about discovering who God made you to be and how you best bear his image.
Mm-hmm. So I want you to say more about that, but it's not just kids. It's not younger people. It's older people, too. Don't you find conversations you're having with people or in a place in life where they go, I don't know what God wants me to do anymore?
I think it's across the entire age spectrum. I can tell you just a few key statistics.
Okay.
We used to think of the midlife crisis. That's people who are in their 40s and 50s thinking back on their lives and wondering, what have I spent the last 20 years doing? Is this of any enduring value? And then in the millennial generation, people began to talk about a quarter-life crisis. People get out of college, and they already have that sense that they aren't living a life that really makes a difference. And then, of course, and this is one of the saddest statistics because we've seen a couple of high-profile individuals and their own lives recently, and it's brought the topic of suicide back to the forefront, and we usually think that's a youth problem, but the study I saw most recently said that the number one group of people in the United States of America committing suicide is men in their 80s.
Wow.
They don't believe that they're life has value any longer. They feel that they've gone from being a provider to being a burden to others,
mm-hmm.
and they don't see how they can go on. So across the entire age spectrum, people deal with this.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, what would you say kids are most concerned about? Do they feel like they don't have a sense of belonging anywhere? Do they don't know where they fit in, or do they feel like on the fringe and they're not connected? Or do you know what the main itch is?
I think there are two things. There obviously is the question of what am I supposed to do with my life? What should I do for a job? I need to find something that seems interesting to me. Just because I'm good at math doesn't mean I want to go into engineering, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But second, Bill, there's a strong cry for identity. Who am I?
Huh.
And your worldview determines how you will go about finding answers to that question. If you believe that only the material world exists, for example, as secularists and Marxists and postmodernists do, then you end up thinking that, well, I guess my identity is my biology. So what are my strongest biological impulses? They're sexual. So I am whatever I feel sexually. That is my identity. And so a lot of young adults today, we've got groups of young adults here right now at Summit in Colorado, and a very high percentage of them have serious questions about whether their sexuality is their primary identity or whether there's another way to see it.
And it's interesting because a lot of younger people, and it doesn't necessarily be younger people, but they have this blind obedience to their desires, their fleshly desires, and that takes them to a very bad place.
That is certainly the case. It's true that your worldview affects your habits, but it's also true that your habits shape your worldview. So what people end up believing about the issues of our day can often begin with the things people habitually do, and probably 70% or so of the young people we deal with are regularly using pornography, for example, and that has a very strong negative effect on how they see everything else around them.
Well, I think statistics will also show that a majority of people, including Christians, don't think viewing that is a bad thing.
I think that's right, yes. I think it's because it's an ever-present thing for people in today's culture that we become numb to it after a while. The things that, you know, that I looked at pornography in college, you know, in magazines, and that's very different from what people are dealing with today, with the video content, virtual reality, and so forth. It has an effect of shaping the brain. It actually goes back and changes us physically, the way people engage with pornography today. So yeah, these are all huge issues for the young people we're working with.
Yeah, just from a brain standpoint, I don't know if younger kids even realize how detrimental it is. I don't think they're aware of it.
I don't think they are. And the saddest thing is, we're looking at young people when they come here and they feel safe. They start talking with us about that. You know, I'm addicted to pornography and I'm scared. I want out of this. What do I do? Most of them get addicted to pornography between ages 8 and 11.
Wow.
So that's not the age range that most Christians are thinking that their kids are running into trouble. You know, they think their kids run into trouble maybe at 13, 14, 15, 16, 18 years of age, but it's way earlier than that. So you can imagine by the time a young person comes to see us here at Summit Ministries at 16 to 25 years of age, they've had, you know, sometimes a decade of exposure to these things, and it's a lot to unwind.
Yeah. I mean, there's no control group of you know, young men that have not been exposed to it. I mean, virtually 100% have at some point.
I think that is true. Yes.
Yeah.
There are lots of ways to approach this, and at Summit we talk to them first of all about God's design, God's design for male and female, not just the stereotypes, but the aspects of how God designed us, and then that our sexuality is to be rooted in our relationship with Christ, rather than being our core identity in and of itself. And then we have people come in who have come out of the homosexual lifestyle, for example, to talk about same-sex attraction. We found that if you can talk about same-sex attraction, you're reaching the hearts of probably 10% of people, but you allow the other 90% to begin thinking through their own sexual thoughts and practices in a way that allows them to bring that to Christ and tear down that barrier that stops them from living a life that's fully committed to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, I want to hear more about the training that you do at Summit, and the website is summit.org. You can head on over to that during the break and check it out if you're near a computer. Otherwise, I will take a very short break and then return with Dr. Jeff Myers in just a minute. Good afternoon. It's 19 minutes after the hour. Bill Arnold here with you. I'm speaking to Dr. Jeff Myers from summit.org, and he does this brilliant job of training high school and college kids in a Christian worldview. And Jeff, is it a number of camps that take place over the summer?
It is, Bill. Our programs are 12 days long.
Sweet.
And each one of these programs takes place with world-class experts, such as Dr. Sean McDowell, John Stone Street, Christopher Yuan, and others, some of the people who are, I know, presented on the station here regularly. And those individuals are with the students, helping them grapple with the tough issues they're facing and prepare for college. So in those 12 days, the students have a profound impact on their lives. It's not just 12 consecutive days. It's, you know, there are different people on day two as they were on day one, different people on day three. It's a multiplier effect.
Mm-hmm.
And these programs take place 11 times throughout the summer in Colorado, Tennessee, and Pennsylvania. And we do still have seats available. I know most people's summer plans are well set by now, but we do have availability in Tennessee and in Pennsylvania, and also toward the end of the summer in the month of August here in our program in Colorado.
Well, that's excellent news. And I think a lot of people can make last-minute plans because they're, you know, God touches them on the shoulder and says, hey, get to Summit. So then you go do it.
That's an absolutely important point.
It is.
You're looking at your young adult and thinking, now they're getting ready to go off to college this fall. What is going to happen to
mm-hmm.
them? How could I make something great of this summer for them? Could
yeah.
I somehow get them to quit their summer job 2 weeks early? You know, it's amazing. Our program is $1,645. Which sounds like a lot of money to some people, but those parents who've paid for college know that's the cost of your textbooks for 1 year of college.
Right, right.
For that amount of money, you can have this two-week experience that profoundly affects them. And we're finding a lot of parents and grandparents saying, let's change the summer plans. Just because it was set on the schedule doesn't mean it's the most important thing. The most important thing is learning how to be close to God, to think his thoughts after him, to have the mind of Christ, to have a strong biblical worldview when you get ready to go to school.
Yeah, what a gift as you're thinking about going off to college, because when they get to college, Jeff, I'm pretty sure the college is going to say that your identity is going to be rooted in your gender and your sexual desires. And the Bible tells us something very differently.
The Bible has that's right. The typical view on a university campus today would be one of three worldviews: secularism, Marxism, or postmodernism.
Mm-hmm.
Secularism says that God is not relevant to any of our important considerations. Marxism says everything is bad that's bad in the world is bad because there are rich people. We need to have a revolution and overthrow them. And then postmodernism says everything is bad because people claim they know the truth. We need to get rid of the idea that anybody can know the truth, and then people won't have any reason to kill one another or die over things that they believe. And those three views dominate, and all three of them are materialist worldviews, that only the material world exists. So that your spirit, or you have a spirit, or that there are ideas or inspiration, or, you know, anything immaterial in that way, those just aren't considered. It's almost like, unless you go to a Christian college, those things are off the table from the start. So you are trying to grasp reality with half of reality tied behind your back from day one.
Wow.
On most university campuses.
Yeah, because you know, if you show up and all you think about are your feelings, you know, and that's part of, you know, your fallen creation if you're not a believer. And if you think that who you are is based on that, you're going to be in trouble.
You will be in trouble, and I think there's a deep reality to what you're saying right there. And if I could unpack it for a minute,
please do.
I'd like to.
Because I just say random things and hope somebody makes sense of them.
Well, I teach our students here that we don't accept ideas typically as humans fully formed. We bring them into our minds and hearts in the same way that viruses come into our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Virus is a terrible kind of infection because it's not a living thing. If something's alive, you can kill it, like bacteria. But you can't kill a virus because it's not alive to begin with.
Right.
It's a bit of genetic code that weaves itself into our genetic code. And ideas do the same thing. They weave themselves into our thinking, and to the point where we don't have a strong capacity to fight back. And the worst viruses in the world, like the Spanish flu in 1918, 1919, did not attack the weak, Bill. They attacked the strong. Strong people were the most likely to be victims because their immune system was so powerful that it blindly fought back against the virus in a way that caused catastrophic damage to the body and made it impossible to recover.
Mm-hmm.
So I think sometimes people think, well, my child is spiritually strong, has strong feelings about God, has been involved in the worship team and the youth group at church, and so he's ready to go. That sometimes young people whose worldview is based on feelings rather than thinking and feelings are the most vulnerable, they are the ones most likely to cave in most quickly to the worldviews they will learn on college campuses.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, do you ever wish you were less smart?
I get to hang around with people who are so brilliant that I feel like a complete moron most of the time.
All right.
So it.
All right. We just.
That's why it's a funny question.
Yeah. Just a couple of minutes left. I'm curious. What other kinds of baggage do students show up with at the Summit Conference? Do they deal with anxiety, depression? What else is on the plate?
Oh, I think some of them deal with anxiety and depression. I think things come back to. They aren't sure where they're going in life, then they're looking around trying to find cues. So what do you think about? And, you know, we talk to them even about their social media usage.
Mm-hmm.
We have experts come in to help them with that, because students start to realize, oh, I didn't post that because that's what I think. I posted that because I think that that's what other people who I think are watching think I should think if I was thinking, right? So
yeah.
So they realize I don't have a standard. There is no North Star in my life. And so for students to begin considering the claims of Christ as true is a huge breakthrough for them. I was just visiting with a student last night who said, you know, I came to Summit. I believe in God. I didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. And she said, but now I'm going to embrace Jesus. I don't know exactly where this is going to lead me,
mm-hmm.
but I know this is what I need to do in my life. And I know she's not just making that decision because somebody played a nice song and she felt differently about it, but because she seriously had the opportunity to consider the claims of Christ from the standpoint of absolute truth.
Yeah, and you really never know who you are until you know who you are in Christ. I think of Jesus in the upper room with his 12, and he started pretty much by saying where he had come from, who he was, and where he was going. And sometimes if you don't know where you've come from, you don't know who you are. And if you don't know who you are, it's hard to know where you're going. So it's really good to think through that and process it through Scripture.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah, well, that's as profound as I can be.
Oh, man. Well, I just think everybody should come to summit.org, check it out, see
yeah.
if there are resources there that can help. We've got lots of videos, as you mentioned. We've got a YouTube channel. So a lot of what we do is available there. That way you can be sure before you come out here that this is, you know, that we're solid people.
Mm-hmm.
And got a right perspective here.
Yeah. And is there a way to connect in advance, have some conversations on the phone with someone at Summit just to get my questions answered?
You can go to summit.org,
okay.
and you'll find our phone number there.
Okay.
And if you call in, you'll talk to somebody in our customer care team.
Okay.
And their whole goal is to help people find a way that they can come to a knowledge of the truth. And so they'll share about the programs we have. They'll answer questions. They're an extraordinary group of people.
Yeah. Jeff, have a wonderful summer. Your work is amazing, and I appreciate you, and I love the fact you could come on the show and be an encouragement to us.
No, thank you, Bill. Appreciate
yep.
you.
Have a great day. Dr. Okay. Jeff Myers, summit.org is the website. We'll take a short break and be back with lots more.
Hi, I'm Steve Douglas, and on this program we talk a lot about sharing our faith with others. But how are we able to do that? Mark Stewart shares that the key is the power of the Holy Spirit.
I pray every day. I get on my knees and I pray to the Lord. And then when I end up, I say, Holy Spirit, will you fill me today? Will you lead me to do the Father's will? And then will you empower me to do the Father's will? Because I'm probably not going to want to do it.
Mark has found that the fullness of the Spirit enables him to care for those he meets and gives him the boldness to share with them.
I've led people to Christ over the phone, people on airplanes leading them to Christ, grocery stores, restaurants. I mean, I've had waitresses just break down crying over a conversation we're having. And I just know that's the Holy Spirit. Some days he leads me to nobody. That's okay. It's not my kingdom. I'm just showing up if he wants to use me or not.
So yield to the Holy Spirit's direction and trust him to lead you to people. For more on this subject, go to makingyourlifecount.com.
Hey, warm welcome. It's 32 minutes after the hour. It was on this day in 1966 the Supreme Court handed down its decision in Miranda versus Arizona. And you all know that criminal suspects must be now advised of their rights before interrogation. You know, that standard, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you can say and will be used against you in a court of law. So my next guest is Adam Weber. I'm curious how many times he has heard that in his life. Hi, Adam.
That's a great random fact to know today, yeah.
It is, I know. Miranda rights were established today by the Supreme Court. You've heard that a lot, haven't you, in your life?
Oh, many times. I can.
Of course. Adam, you know, there's so many things I want to talk to you about today. And first of all, thanks for coming on the show. Adam is is at Embrace Church, has four campuses, weekly attendance of about 3,000. Listed as one of the fastest growing churches in America. He's written books. He's a blogger. He's just a great guy. I just love Adam. So I thought, let's have him on the show because this is only my second week, and I'm desperate for guests. Let's be honest, okay?
it's always a huge honor. I end up by the end, my cheeks are hurting from smiling.
Good.
That's always a good sign.
Good. Now, when I look at what's going on in churches today, I had a guest on yesterday. Her name was Rachel Gilson. She was talking a little bit about the LGBT community and about safe spaces in churches and how we need to be listening. And she made this comment. I want you to hear it, Adam, and maybe you'll respond to it. Go ahead.
Yeah. And some people pushed back and said, well, no, we shouldn't be a safe space for the same-sex attracted, because they misunderstood and thought what we were saying is that we should make the church a safe place to pursue sin.
Mm.
And we should never make the church a safe place to pursue sin. No, part of what we are called to do for each other, as Hebrews 3 talks about, is we have to be careful for each other, exhorting one another every day, because sin is so deceitful.
All right, Adam, a lot of churches are shrinking and going away, and yours is growing.
No.
I'm swinging out of left field, aren't I?
what's the question, though? Like, just what would be your question, though?
The question is, when I see so many churches that are doing virtue signaling, like, you know, we accept everybody, everyone's welcome, and I agree, everyone should be welcome everywhere, but they should be hearing the gospel preached. And your church is booming. So you're doing something right, my friend.
Oh, we have nothing figured out. I have a couple different comments that I would say, just for anybody, regardless of what we're talking about, I would hope that the church would be a place that is welcoming to anybody.
Yes.
I mean, whether you are walking faithfully with Jesus, or maybe you just had your biggest mistake, like, man, like, gosh, I hope anybody would be welcome. When it comes to, like, the truth side, Jesus is grace and truth. I actually think our world is desperate for the truth side,
mm-hmm.
which is something I think we often shy away from. And again, I would talk, I'm kind of referring and answering for anybody. I know for myself, it's like, no, I'm coming to church today because my life isn't working.
Right.
So that's why I'm here.
Right.
Jesus, will you tell me something different? Like, would you tell me something? And maybe I'm in the right of way, and so I'm okay, and what I'm doing is all right. But maybe, God, like, I'm totally not following you. Would you speak into my life because you love me? And for me, my hope with anybody is like, gosh, I can introduce you to Jesus, and I can get you to open up His Word. He's gonna wreck your life, regardless of who you are, in the best way possible.
Amen.
And I think that's what people are, I think, are hungry for. Again, whoever you are, even myself. I'm like, no, I don't want to hear what I want to hear. Jesus, will you speak in and challenge every part of my life?
Yeah.
So again, I hope anybody feels is welcome and at home. That's one of the things we, like, above our doors, actually, it just says welcome, period.
I hope
that would be true for anybody. But man, like, again, the older I get, the less I know. And it's like, Jesus, will you speak into my life? And thankfully He is. Thankfully He's full of grace and full of truth.
Yeah. So when the glory of God comes cannonballing into your life, it does completely upset and wreck it, but in the best way possible.
In the best way possible. And it's so cool. Even in my own life, it can be painful at times. when that happens, again, regardless of who you are, at times it's painful. It's like, you want me to leave this behind? Holy cow. And yet it's like, yes, because what I have to offer you is so much better. And I love you so much. I'm willing to speak the hard truth, even if it hurts. And that's something I'm wanting more and more in my life. Just even honestly, even this past week, as I've been reading through the Bible, I'm in 1 Samuel right now. I'm like, just to echo the prayer of Samuel, Lord, speak, because your servant's listening. I'm tired of hearing from myself. I want to hear from you.
Mm, I love it. You know, in Proverbs 28, I think it says, you know, basically, you'll never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them and give them up, and God will show mercy to you.
So good.
It's a sin issue. It's a sin problem. Always has been, always will be. Right, Adam?
That's been true in my life. God has a pretty good track record of being right, and I have a pretty good track record of being off track.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
It's so, like, man, Jesus, would you please speak into my life and show me what needs to change?
Yes. So if our sins were such that Jesus had to leave the elite status of heaven to come down to earth and be crucified on a cross for our sins, they must be pretty bad.
It must be pretty bad. One of my favorite songs right now, the line is, my sin was great, your love was greater.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like at our worst, you know, with our worst sin, not like with everything we are, just at our lowest points in life, like thank God for sending us Jesus, who's mm-hmm. greater than sin, greater than death. He's conquered all things. He is the victor. And man, but I think about my sin and the greatness of it, I'm so thankful that Jesus is greater.
Oh, Adam, me too. So I think my point is that I'm trying to get to is the churches that are growing, like yours, are churches that are telling the truth. You don't come to Embrace Church to pursue your sin. You come to hear about what Christ did on the cross and the sacrifice he made, yeah. And that repentance is the key.
Yeah, come to hear about Jesus. It's like, I don't want to hear the gospel according to me.
No.
It's like, Lord, help us to open up your word, and what do you have to say to us?
Yeah. Now, if any of this material ends up in your sermon on Sunday, you'll be hearing from my lawyers. That leads me to my next point. Nice segue,
yeah.
Bill. My next point about expectations. Hopefully you got that email. I said, I want to talk about expectations because it seems to me, Adam, that there's so many people that show up in life with all these expectations. And I think to myself, where did they come from? And why is there such a complete lack of contentment with so many people today?
Oh, I think we all have expectations. And when I actually thought about your questions that you sent over, I even thought about our expectations as followers of Jesus. I think there's an expectation that when we start following Jesus, life is going to just be perfect. Like, there's not going to be another trial, never going to have a flat tire. Everything's going to go as planned. And I think that's one of the, even thinking about Paul, he's so good about setting the expectations. Whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it pure joy. I'm like, whoa, that's not what I expected. And so I think as with life as a whole, and even as followers of Jesus, figuring out like just like reality and expectations is so important. And that's something that we don't often want to talk about in churches. Like, gosh, we should expect trials of many kinds to come our way.
Mm-hmm. Do you know that passage? I think it's in one of C.S. Lewis's books where he said, if before you enter a room, you're told it's a honeymoon suite and you open the door and you go, ugh, isn't that great? But if before entering that same room, you're told it's a prison cell, you open it and you go, whoa, this is nice. And we all have expectations. And I'm not saying expectations are bad, but don't we take and shouldn't we take our desires and place them at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, how will you order my desire? And how can I pursue contentment?
Oh,
I'm on fire today, Adam. I got to tell you.
No, you said it perfectly. I think when we're in a hard season of life,
yeah,
I think to remind us of the expectations of, gosh, when trials come, okay, so I should expect this. This doesn't mean that God doesn't love me. This doesn't mean that God isn't with me, that he isn't for me. I should expect that trials are going to come my way. On the flip side of that, when maybe life is good or we're just coasting, I know in my own life I'm constantly chasing after the next thing for contentment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when life is average or better, I find myself just wanting that next thing, that next thing, that next thing, and realizing that next thing is never, ever gonna satisfy me. That next thing might be a certain day, the day we get married, the day we have a child, mm-hmm. the day we get a promotion, the day we graduate, it might be a certain thing. The day I get a car, the day I get the certain house, the day, whatever it is never going to be enough.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to finding contentment in any situation, in a trial or on a mountaintop in a season of celebration, it's like, Jesus, I want you to be the center of my contentment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finding all my joy, all my love, all my goodness in you. And any other good that comes my way is just an added bonus.
Right.
Like any blessings that comes towards me are just an added bonus. And I think it goes back to that quote from C.S. Lewis. When we approach that life that way of, Jesus, just give me my daily bread, and everything I'm going to look for in contentment and my worth and my happiness is found in you. And
mm-hmm.
anything above that, I'm just going to be thankful. I'm just going to be so thankful for everything you've given me.
Adam, does this get back to my original question or this idea about expectations? I mean, I'm just listening to you talk saying, you know, when I get married or when I get that car or when I get, you know, accepted into that college. So you always have this sense of the expectation is out there. And when I get that, then I'm going to be happy. And you're saying good luck with that.
Good luck with that. I mean, marriage, it comes with another imperfect human being. It comes with marriage problems.
Yeah.
And the new job, it comes with a boss. And it comes with a list of expectations. And even in the best of situations, my marriage, I can't imagine life without my wife. I mean, seriously, it's the greatest season we've ever had marriage-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And yet my wife's first name isn't Jesus. And
mm-hmm.
so she's imperfect. And the same thing with me. And so when we put our expectations and we put our contentment in the hands of anything or anyone else, we are going to constantly be let down.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes from Jesus, then our wonderful marriage, it's just added.
Yeah.
And instead of looking to them and trying to make them Jesus, instead of making our job Jesus, instead of making a thing Jesus, which will always let us down, it's like, no, Jesus, I'm finding my worth in you. My expectation is that only you and you alone will satisfy.
Yeah.
Everything else that comes my way is just an added bonus, an added blessing, or it's a chance, which is hard for me to get to, or it's a chance to consider it pure joy, this trial that's come my way.
Yeah. So, Adam,
I just want to find everything in you.
Yeah. We got to stop chasing the things that don't matter, right?
And if we could reprogram our hearts to realize contentment's found in Jesus and Jesus alone.
Yes.
It changes everything.
Yes. I was thinking of the final Beatles concert, August of 1966 at Candlestick Park. I certainly wasn't there, but I remember hearing the story of, after that concert, George Harrison getting in the plane, buckling his seatbelt and going, there, I'm no longer a Beatle. It's like, oh, is really being a Beatle a big pain? You know? It's like, You're feeling empty, like you're done, like that's enough, like that didn't satisfy.
I think Jim Carrey, there's a quote that constantly comes back to him, is, I wish everyone could be rich and famous to realize it doesn't bring happiness and contentment.
Very true. Contentment in Jesus. That's it. If you have a question for Adam, give us a call, 877-933-2484. You can even be a member of Embrace Church and call him. That'd be fine, too. We'll take a short break and be back more with Adam Weber. Welcome back to the show. 12 minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here with you. I now have 3 likes on Facebook. Wait, 2. Okay, 1 just went away. I'm talking to Adam Weber, and Adam's written a book called Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. Seems like prayer should be simple. Like, so when it actually comes to praying, why does it feel awkward and complicated, Adam?
There's so many reasons it feels awkward. First off, we speak to a God that we're not able to physically see.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just that, like, okay, how does this work? Am I talking to myself? Also, time and time again, I always say this to people. Prayer is one of those things that everyone feels like they should know how to do, and yet that's not always the case. And so because it feels like you know you should do it, you feel awkward asking questions about it. And so because of that, you either attempt to pray and you're not really sure if you're doing it correctly, or you don't pray at all. And so it's something that doesn't get talked about enough. Rarely do you even hear messages on prayer and just explaining prayer, because again, it's just that understanding of like, oh, everybody knows how to pray, and yet that's not always the case.
Mm-hmm. I think your book addresses many of us who feel like as we're reading reading the book and we're realizing that we feel kind of lost sometimes in prayer. Like we know we should be doing it better, and we get distracted easily. And you address all that in the book, and it's you're real and you're open and you're honest. And that's one of the things I just absolutely love about you, Adam.
I'm pretty much a work in progress.
Yeah.
And on Sundays, I always say in the Old Testament, God spoke through a donkey. Maybe he can do it again. And so
yeah.
It is true. Like, I'm just so thankful that God meets us wherever we are. And even for me, he comes and meets me right where I am and continues to grow me, continues to challenge me, continues to change me from the inside out. And I have nothing figured out except my need for Jesus and the fact that I want to run after him.
Yeah, I appreciate that candor. I mean, there's a lot of people that would need to come on the show and act way more buttoned up. And what I love about you is you just sort of tell it like it is. It's very appealing. It's very accessible. People go, okay, here's a guy I can relate to.
Oh, well, I'm grateful for the kindness and words. I think it's I look in the Bible, and I'm so thankful for that same characteristics in a person like David.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing him being angry at God, being frustrated at God, asking questions, like direct questions. Where are you? Why have you forsaken me? And just throughout the Bible, Peter denying Jesus three times, I find myself, gosh, that it so many times has been me.
Mm.
When someone's asked me about Jesus or someone has mentioned that they're broken and hurting, and I really know that I should tell them about the Lord or ask to pray with them, and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like in those moments, I have denied Jesus. And so that's the Bible. I love the fact that it's got a bunch of broken, imperfect people.
Yeah.
Yet Jesus invites them to come and follow him. And that's encouraging for someone like myself.
Yeah. Adam, when you talk to some believers who maybe are in a very, very tough season of life, and they kind of go, Adam, what's the point of prayer? they're so wounded, or they're in such deep pain that they just go, what's the point?
A bunch of different things. I think so often in those seasons, we're carrying it all on our own. And we're not supposed to. God is so much better at carrying things than we ever are. And so I'm just like, you got to let someone else in, a friend, a family member, but more specifically, you need to invite Jesus into this, because you can't carry this on your own. And also just the wonderful, because I think in those trials, we do feel like God isn't there, that
mm-hmm.
he's not with us, that he's not present. And we can know for certain all throughout the scripture, it tells us when we seek him, we find him. When we cry out, he hears our voice. Even in David, you know, he cries out from the pit. He's ran away from God. And yet when he cries out, God hears his voice and pulls him out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would encourage someone, you're not supposed to carry it on your own. And also God does hear you. He is with you. He loves you. And during this season of trials and storms, you need to cling to him. You need to hold on to his promises. When you may not be able to see it. That's
mm-hmm.
what faith is. You know, it's like, I can't see this right now, but I'm going to trust. This doesn't make sense right now, but I'm gonna hold fast in you, God, because you're my refuge, you're my rock, you're my stronghold.
Mm-hmm.
So in those seasons, I just encourage people, you can't do this on your own. You need the Lord to meet you in these places.
Yeah. Adam, do you think there's some people that are a little freaked out by prayer because maybe they're in situations where they're hearing other people pray who you go, boy, this person's really eloquent. I wish I can't pray like that. So you actually walk away going, oh, I'm bad at prayer. I should, how am I going to get better?
Yes. And there's nothing wrong with it, eloquent prayer either, if it's done from the heart and it's truly someone speaking to the Lord, and that's not our place to judge if it's from the heart or not. But our prayers do not need to be fancy. Jesus actually confronts the person and talks about in the sermon about the person who prays eloquently for everyone to hear, and it is a show. Jesus says, don't do that. Instead, just talk with me. Instead, just come to me. And with my parents, with my close friends, with my loved ones, I never feel the need to ever edit my words.
Sweet.
Instead, I just speak from the heart. Mm-hmm. You know, just even talking with my dad this last week, I just said, man, it's been a hard week, and I'm struggling, and I'm going through this. Would you pray for me? What did you just right from the heart? And my dad was the same way with me, and God wants us to be the same way with Him.
Mm.
He doesn't want us editing our words. He just wants to hear from us, the real us.
Yeah.
And oftentimes when we put on that show, I think He just kind of sits there and is like, okay, this is great. When you're done with the show, then I'll really listen, you know. And because I just want to hear from you. I just want to meet with you. I want to have that intimate relationship with you. And in intimacy, there's no reason to polish up our words.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would encourage that person who feels like their prayers aren't fancy. God delights in you, and He loves hearing from you just the way that you speak to Him.
Mm-hmm.
Like just speak to Him, and He just delights. He's waiting to talk with you.
Yeah. So, Adam, do you have a little tribute to your father and the way he loved you and trained you and cared for you as a son?
My dad is the most amazing man that I've ever met.
Mm.
He's a simple man. He had to retire early because of some health, some physical stuff, which has been really hard for me to see him go through.
Mm-hmm.
He was an electrician for years and years, so just a simple man. And yet through his simple way of loving people, of serving people, his kindness, his grace, he showed me Jesus so clearly in and through his life. And just someone who has a wonderful, genuine, intimate relationship with Jesus. But it's just someone that I can't say enough about. I mean, he's my mentor. He's my counselor when I'm going through a situation. And so I'm just so thankful for my dad, the most just incredible man, far from perfect, but just a simple man who loves Jesus. And back to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I think when it comes to prayer and even following Jesus, God is just looking for the simple person who wants to faithfully follow Him.
Yeah.
That simple person who just has a genuine love to become more like Jesus. That's what God's looking for. And my dad just exemplifies that.
Well, that's beautiful. And you've got how many kids, Adam?
We have 4 kids. I'm still trying to figure out how where babies come from. But anyway, that's another show. 4 kids. If we have 5, I'll need prayer. I'll come out here to be prayed for.
Yeah. Well, I love having you on the show, and I think it's you're always so vulnerable and real and honest, and I know people are drawn to you, and blessings on your church. And what kind of sermon series are you in right now?
Right now we're in a series actually called Follow. Just what does it mean to follow Jesus?
Okay.
And so this week we're actually talking about following the words of Jesus, following what he says and
awesome.
Actually doing them. So,
yep. And
yeah,
we can...
it's always a joy for me to be on the show as well.
Like, yeah.
And right back at you, I think what people love about your show is just that you're real. You want to talk about real things, real life, and just point people to Jesus in the process. So it's always a gift.
Well, thanks so much, Adam. Have a great weekend, and thanks for being with me.
Thank you.
Yep. Adam Weber's been my guest, Embrace Church. And Sioux Falls is his location. You can head over to Embrace Church and check it out. And we'll take a short break and then be back with Hour 2 in just a minute. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.